I want to give something for in preparation for Tisha B'Av, something that we can learn for ourselves during these days. And we'll start with a statement in the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Gimel. The Gemara says Te'etom, which means if you close up something, you have a hole. V'lo Teshapitz. The Gemara gives us an Eitz Tov that you won't have to do a shiputz. It's interesting how the Gemara has the term that we use in Israel today. You won't have to do a whole fixing job. Teshapitz v'lo Tivne. And if you do a shiputz on time, then you won't have to build the whole house. Imagine if you see a crack in the wall. If you take care of it immediately, you know, put some plaster over the crack, it doesn't take a great deal of effort, and it's back, it's restored to where it was before. If you take a little bit too much time, then the crack starts widening. And then you have to put plaster, and it's a whole deal. It's not so terrible, it's a shiputz, but it's not a full-fledged shiputz. But if you wait too long, and then what happens is, this wall is what's called the supporting wall. The roof on top of this wall is supported by this wall. If the crack becomes too wide, then ultimately, the very foundations of this wall are removed, and the whole roof could collapse. And then you have to rebuild the whole house. So first start with itum. Itum is the lower level. You know, we just have to plaster up the hole. And if you don't take care of that, you're going to have to do a shiputz. The lotus shapitz. But the Gemara says that if you do a shiputz, you won't have to be boning the entire house. So if you wait too long and you postpone it, eventually you'll have to rebuild the entire house. So this is something that really appears in a pasuk in Koheles, the way Rashi interprets the pasuk. Bal tzatayim, that's a person who's an atzlon, yimach hamikara. Makara is the seal. Yimach means it'll completely collapse. Rashi says the following in Koheles: Kisha adam misatzel v'eino misakin pirtza katana. If he doesn't urgently, immediately take care of a small crack, says Rashi, shebetikra sabayis in the ceiling of the house, tishapetz hatikra v'tipol. Then the entire wall will collapse, the ceiling will collapse, and you'll have to rebuild the whole house. And this is, I think, a mussar for us that we're going to learn from the whole history of the Churban HaBayis, that Klal Yisrael delayed taking care of the tikkunim, of rectifying the sins, when they could have done it ba'od moed in its time. Rav Galinsky, Rav Yaakov Galinsky, tells a story about Rav Shach. That where Rav Shach was amazed when he read in the newspaper about the Megiddo diggings. The archaeologists dug up a very big mound. At the foot of the mound, they dug, they unearthed an entire city called Megiddo. I don't know if you know about it.
West?
Megiddo, I think it's in the eastern side of Yerushalayim. And this was something that happened many, many years ago. And he said to Rav Galinsky, he doesn't understand how is it that when they unearthed this city was completely covered by dust. And Rav Galinsky didn't understand what the question was all about, why Rav Shach was wasting his time with this question. So he figured maybe he better not say anything. Probably Rav Shach has an answer to the question. So then as soon as Rav Galinsky let a minute go by, of course Rav Shach answered the question himself. He gave the following mashal, Rav Shach. He says, you have a housekeeper, and she dusts, you know, the furniture on a regular basis, almost daily, or if not every day, every other day, and she gets rid of all the dust, so the furniture and the counter space looks crystal clear, there's no dust on it. But suppose she delays it, and a month goes by, and all of a sudden, if you take your finger on the surface of the counter, you could actually put an entire line on it. And if she waits a full year or two, or if she waits 10 years or 20 years and doesn't take care of the dust starts settling and thickening until finally all the furniture and all the counter space and everything, the entire house is submerged in dust. And Rav Shach used this as a mashal to tell us that we have to urgently take care of our sins and rectify them without procrastinating. If we take our time, ultimately we're going to have to start from scratch and it's too late. the pasuk in Yirmiyah, I think, could apply very closely to our situation of the Churban HaBayis. This is in Yirmiyah Perek Beis, pasuk Chav Beis. It says, "Ki im techabsi b'neser." Neser is a kind of a cleaning agent. If you'll clean with that agent, or tarbilach boris, boris is another type of cleaning agent. Nichtam avonech, the stain of your sin, lefonai, in front of me, says Nu Hashem Elokim, that's the good way of going. And the Reish Lakish says the following. He says that the word kesem, which means a stain, really indicates that the sins of a person create stains on the surface, kaviyochel, of his nefesh. And if a person is quick about doing tshuva without delay, he picks up those stains, the stains on the surface level. But if he delays it, and then he repeats the sin, then already by the second time he does the sin, the stain is expanding. And sometimes not only on the surface level, but it even penetrates deeper. So by the third time that he repeats the same crime, the stain now penetrates from surface layer to surface layer, through and through, as we say. In Yiddish we say, duch and duch. At that point, it's impossible to clean away the stain. So what Yirmiyahu is telling us is to chabsi b'neser, take care of your avonos immediately. Don't let the stains on your soul expand and become deeper and deeper and more profound. There was once a story about a son who came to his father with a great deal of despair and frustration. He felt that he was sinning and he was going a little bit off the path, and he didn't know what to do. He needed from his father words of chizuk. And his father did something very fascinating. He took out from his pocket, again, I don't know if he had planned this, but he took out from his pocket a kerchief, a handkerchief, and it had a big blotch, a stain, an ink stain on it. And he said to his son, "Is there any way you could take this stain out?" And his son said, "No, it's through and through." Ah. What his father did was, after his son left, he contacted a very famous artist. And the artist took this stain and he made an entire artistic creation out of it. And at the end of the week, when the kerchief was replaced, was given back, he showed it to his son. And his son looked at it and said, "This is beautiful, Dad. Where'd you get it?" He says, "That was the same kerchief that I showed you." If you attend to your needs spiritually and to your stains early in the game, you can ultimately, Chazal say, averos nasas donos nasamo kizofios. It can even become something beautiful because you learn from your mistakes, but not to let the mistakes sink in and repeat themselves over and over again. This, I think, is something that's so profound with regard to the churban and the avelus over the churban. You remember, does anybody have a chumash maybe I can trouble you with? I forgot to bring one with me. When the Meraglim, when the Meraglim came back, and they told the terrible slander about Eretz Yisrael, they engendered a certain despair in Klal Yisrael, because the people realized that there was no way that they could conquer Eretz Yisrael. They accepted hook, line, and sinker. They swallowed all the words of the Meraglim. And it says in the pasuk, "Vatisa kol ha'ed v'yindu es kolam v'yivku ha'am ba'layla ha'hu." They cried that night. And Chazal say that because of that bechia on the Leil Tisha B'Av of the Meraglim, "Atem bechisa bechia shel chinam, but masid lovel you'll be boche bechia bechila doros." And as a matter of fact, at that juncture, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that none of the people of that generation would enter into Eretz Yisrael, right? With the exception, of course, of Kalev and Yehoshua, they all would perish in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the bechia over here. It seems like they had an opportunity for bechia, but it was too late. And later on, if you remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns the people after the entire episode not to go up and fight Al Talu Vayom Lo Mezatem over Al Pi Hashem, because as a result of this terrible decree, Vayisabalu Ha'am Ma'od, they were so despaired. Vayashkivu Baboker Vayaluv El Rosh Ahar Vayomru Hinein Valinu El Amakom. Olinu El Amakom. Now's the moment for us to go up to Eretz Yisrael. Ki Chatanu, because we sin. So now they're ready to do tshuva. Vayomer Moshe, lama ze atem ovrim es pi Hashem. And as a result of Al Talu, ki ein Hashem bekirbuchem, it says, Amaleki vaknani shom lifneim unafaltem bachorev. And that's exactly what happened. It says, Vayered Amaleki vaknani yoshe bohara hu vayakum vayachtum an chorma. There was a tremendous loss when Amalek attacked the Jewish people. And Chazal say that it's true that now you want to do tshuva, but it's a little bit late. Had you cried immediately when it was the right time to do so, then it wouldn't have been this terrible decree. But now it's too late. The decree was already signed and sealed. The Avera was done. In fact, we have two great bookends of the 3 weeks. We have Shivasa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. And Chazal say in the Zohar that these 2 days eventually will be days of Simcha. Shivasa B'Tammuz will be like Rishon Shel Chag, and Tisha B'Av will be like Achron Shel Chag. Now if you think about it, whether in the case of Pesach or in the case of Sukkot, which is greater? Rishon Shel Chag or Achron Shel Chag? Rishon Shel Chag is always greater. In fact, in the case of Pesach, Achron Shel Chag doesn't even have a special Hallel. In the case of Sukkot, it's another day of Chol HaMoed until we have Shmini Atzeres. So you would think, if I were to ask you which Avelus is more profound, and therefore which Simcha Zelum Azeh should be greater between the 2 dates, which date would you choose? Tisha B'Av. And yet the question is, why is Shivas B'Tammuz converted to Rishon Shel Chag? But the answer is because Shivasa B'Tammuz really was meant to send a very deep, profound warning to the Jewish people. Wake up from your slumber. Now's the time to do tshuva. It says that the enemies of the Jewish people broke through the siege, Nivku, Achomos. That was the beginning of the destruction. At that moment of time, Klal Yisrael should have received the message and taken it to heart. It's time to do tshuva. And therefore, in essence, when you ask about which is more of an important date, the date of the Azhara or the date of the Onish is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechazda meets out an Onish. People think an Onish is a terrible thing, it's a punishment. It's not. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas Adin, which is part and parcel of the Midas HaChesed. But the real tragedy is inherent in Shavuos B'Tammuz. The fact that we got the warning signals, and yet even during those 3 week period, we were delaying, we were procrastinating our tshuva. And therefore inherent in the scenes of Shavuos B'Tammuz is the depth of feeling for the avelus of the 3 weeks that led up to the Churban, and that's going to be the day of Simcha. There's a well-known story about a Jew who comes to his Rav crying, bitterly crying. His son, Nebuch, went off the derech. What do they call it today? They have a new phrase for it.
At risk.
At risk. Yeah, teens at risk. So he says to the Rav, what did I do to deserve this? I would spend every last penny, millions of dollars, whatever I could possibly spend to bring him back to Yiddishkeit. And he's crying and crying. So the Rav replied by quoting a Medrash in Tehillim. This is in Kuf Lamed Zayin. The Medrash says on the Pasuk, Al Na Ros Bavel, Sham Yashavnu Vagam Bachinu. He says, Li Akar Achurban Beis HaMikdash V'Golis Bavel, Ana Yirmiyo V'Omri Lehem, Meid Ani Alay Shamay Varetz, Ilu Bachisem Bachia Achas, Ad She'etem B'Tzion Lo Galisa. Your trouble is Al Na Ros Bavel Shom Yashavnu V'Gam Bachinu. Your crying comes too late. Had you only cried out while you were still in Sion, you never would have been sent into Golus. And now you cry? So the Rav, after quoting this Medrash, turns to the father and he says, what happened? Your son wanted to go to yeshiva. He wanted to learn in a great yeshiva, Yeshiva Gdol. And there are different versions of exactly which yeshiva he wanted to go to, the son. But the father was worried. How will my son support the family? And therefore, he sent his son to college. The son went off to college. I don't know if the Brits here will appreciate this. It's the same scenario there as it is in America. You know, America is a very large country. Again, it was originally British, but now we're on our independence on the road. It's a great large country. And I can tell you how many of my students went out there to Michigan and to Maryland and to Boston, and I'm not going to give you the list of all the universities they went to. And we pleaded with the parents, give the young man a chance to develop in his Torah studies. He came to learn for a year or two. He's on the verge. Don't worry so much about Parnasa. HaKadosh Baruch will take care of you. But the parents are crying because they're saying, what's he going to do for Parnasa? They sent him to college. And what happened in college? We're not going to go into that. They went to secular universities and it had terrible influence. And it was very hard for them to overcome the temptations. Now the parent comes back 5 years later, 4 years later, and he's crying. Yeah, why didn't you cry then? That was the moment to cry. Cry meaning overcome all your difficulties and all your worries and phobias about Parnasa and send your son. Had you cried then and sent him to Yeshiva Gedola, today you would be dancing with smiles on your face, proud of a Jewish home that's giving you nachas. And instead you're crying. Very often a Rav doesn't want to be cruel to a parent who's crying. Doesn't want to point the finger of accusation at him when it's already too late. But what really can you do when a young man or young woman goes off to college and who knows what happens? I don't want to give the most extreme, terrible scenarios. What could a parent do then? Okay, so they cry, and they cry bitter tears, and they're willing to spend all the money in the world, but it's a bit too late. And that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi is telling the Jewish people, Al Naros Bavel. Now we're in Golus. The Churban has occurred, the base of English is destroyed. Shom Yashav Nivagam Bachinu, it's a little bit too late. We have to make sure that we don't delay the process of tshuva. There's a story that after World War I, Europe was redivided. Especially Russia was chopped up into different states, and in many cases the boundary, the natural boundary, was a river. But there were certain places that were on the border and there was no river, and the city would be split into two different countries. Part of it would belong to Russia, the other part to Latvia. In one case, there was a Jewish community that had a Beis HaKvaros, its cemetery was outside the city, and the city was cut right down the middle. The populace was in Russia, and the Beis HaKvaros was in Latvia. So the Jews came to complain to the authorities that by splitting this city into two states, we won't be able to bury our dead. So at that time, rare in history, but the non-Jewish government felt for the Jews, and they decided that, you know what, you can have a green light license anytime there's a Leviathan. You know, how often do you have a burial? You know, a couple times a year. You'll be able to cross the borders without any problem. There won't be any bureaucracy. You won't have to get visas and documents. So the Jews were very happy. And a number of Jews figured out, what we call the Yiddish Cub, that this is a great opportunity for smuggling. And what they did was, they would... Sometimes it was a real funeral, sometimes the whole thing was staged. And what they would do is they would smuggle stuff over to the other side of the border, and then they would sell it for a different price, and that's how they were making it. But the Russians, believe it or not, are not total imbeciles. And they noticed that there were too many Levias going on. And not only that, like there were members of the entourage that were crying, and there were other members that were whispering to each other, mumbling to each other. They didn't seem to be too upset about the funeral. So they began to get suspicious. And on one occasion, the head officer of the Russian border police decided, let's stop this procession. We want to open up the casket and see what's inside. So immediately the Jews said, we can't do that. They started to cover the mess. And they said, don't worry, we're not going to touch the body. And then at that moment, all the soldiers of the Russian army just surrounded the coffin. And sure enough, they opened it up. And there were tons of jewels inside that were being smuggled. And immediately the head officer said, "You're all under arrest." And the Jews started crying. So the officer got up and he said, "My friends, had you cried a little bit earlier, you know, maybe we would have had Rachmanis. But now it's a little bit too late to cry." And that story is really a mashal for all of us. Again, as we said at the outset, the Gemara in Yevamos, make sure to rectify those cracks at the very beginning. There's a famous statement of Rav Shach. I mean, I think it was misinterpreted, but Rav Shach supposedly said once that if he would have created the world, he would have made things a little different. The youth, young people, by their very nature, are very energetic. But they're not too intelligent because they haven't been seasoned by life experience. The older people, on the other hand, have a great amount of seichel. They're very, you know, seasoned, you know, with wisdom, life's wisdom, chokhmas hakayim. But on the other hand, they're kind of slowed down in life. Says Rav Shach, if I would have created the world, I would have done it a little differently. I would have injected into youth not just the energy of youth, but also the seichel, the wisdom of older age. Show you. I don't think Rav Shach meant exactly that. You know, Rav Shach didn't want to question God's divine creative power. What he meant to say is that halavai, that our youth would come to the older people, the elder statesmen, to be mityayetz with them, to ask them for advice and guidance, and that would bring them in the right path. It's too bad that most of our young, they have this energy, but they don't have the seichel, and therefore they don't respond in the right way. And that's why even fathers who are not so young, but they're not wise enough necessarily to guide their children in the right way. And as parents, that's what we have to do. The Gemara in Yuma on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, Rav Dov spoke about it the other day, says Kshenichnasu Sonim Lehechal Ros HaKruvim, they saw it at the moment that the Jewish people realized it was the time, the moment of Churban, when the bayis was destroyed, the Kruvim were enveloped one in the other. And the question is, that seems to demonstrate that Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are in a love, intimate relationship. And this at the moment of the destruction. How could it be? So the Ritvoy asks this question, the Rebbe Gash, many Rishonim ask this question. But the answer is that at that moment in time, all of Yirmiyah's prophecies were coming to fruition. The Jewish people saw in front of their eyes that all these nevuos, which they were taking with a laid-back attitude, they weren't serious about it, they shrugged it off, and they said, "No, it's not going to come to fruition." And all of a sudden they see in front of their eyes, it's coming to fruition. So they did tshuva. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept that tshuva? Yes. And that's demonstrated by the Kruvim that are enveloped one with the other. It was a great moment of ava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. But on the other hand, it was too late. That tshuva that they did should have come years and years earlier. They should have rectified their sins in the time without procrastinating. Now it's too late. The gzeira is gone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hotzi eskasa aleitzim avonim. Now the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. There's nothing we can do to reverse that decision. But if we in our generation want to do our utmost to bring about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, then I think the Musa for us is very simple but very profound. It's right there, straightforward. We have to look into ourselves. We have to do a cheshbon nefesh. We have to see to it that our tshuva, our b'chios, come on time, not to procrastinate. If we push it off, then we're going to mess up and we'll cry really b'chios shel doros chas v'shalom. You know, there's a famous story about someone who boasted how he always came to minyan on time. So the mashgiach of the yeshiva asked him, "Describe to me your morning. And how do you get to minyan on time?" So he says to the mashgiach, "What happens is my alarm goes off, and you know, it keeps going off, you know, I hear the sounds, but it's too hard for me to get up. And finally I get up, but I realize I have 5 minutes to make the bus that'll take me to Yeshiva on time. So I run and I run and I run, and I make it just in time for the bus. So Lashia says to him, "You're a big shot. You should have been there on time, and you could walk to the bus like a mensch. What you're doing is you're rushing because you're not really there on time. We have to be punctual. We have to be dedicated. We have to use our time very carefully." And I always say that when it comes to Hasmada, Hasmada is probably even more important than Goyimus. If you have a person who puts in his time in a dedicated way, doesn't battle, because I'll say terrible things about Bittul Torah, it's a very big crime. Doesn't mean we can't spend time with our families, with our children. We have to be fathers, and we have to be husbands, and we have to be sons. We have to do a lot of things. Many responsibilities that lay on our shoulders. But at the same time, we have to dedicate ourselves to Torah, to mitzvahs, to Ava, and out of a sense of Yira, we spoke about Yira last time, and punishments, that's for Shalom, that are very severe. The stories we told about the Chafetz Chaim, if you recall, that has to be done, the Od Moed, in its time, without procrastinating. Mitzvah bol yocha, al tach mitzvah, and especially when it comes to Tshuva, especially when it comes to Avos Yisrael, and Yirtz Hashem, if we'll dedicate ourselves to that, we'll bring about the Yisrael and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have a word for tomorrow in
Yivamos. Yivamos is on Daf Samach Gimel Amud.
And what was the
medrash
from
Yirmiyah? Yeah, the medrash is in Tehillim about Yirmiyah, Kuf Lamed Zayin.
About Shabbat Shabbat.
It just helps set up.
That made a light Shamayim v'Aretz, Ilu b'chisem b'chia achas, ad shetem b'tzion. Means as long as you were in Tzion, lo galisem. You wouldn't have gone into gold.
That's what he said. Shabbat Shabbat. Was that near there?
Right. Shabbat Shabbat b'gan b'chisem. It's an amazing medrash. You can use it on Tisha B'Av, you know, when you, if it fits into your presentation or any other occasion, it's all emphasizing the idea that you've got to do tshuva, you've got to cry in its time. Don't wait till it's too late. And this idea, again, we focused on the Churban, but it really encompasses all of Avodas Hashem, every aspect of our relationship to Hashem and to our fellow man. It has to be always in its time, never to push it off. There are many people who, you know, they come after it's too late, and then they come crying, you know, because they miss the train. You know?
But then it comes to our life in this world as well. Doesn't
say it again.
Because then our life in this world as well, it doesn't last at all.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Sorry. There's Mar Chagiga that who was it that heard a voice, you know, that came down and it said, you know, Grab the simcha now, you know, grab from the wedding now, you know, meaning that life is a short wedding, you know, and if you don't grab the opportunities as they come, then it'll be too.
You're amazing, man. I need to copy something down.
Yeah, please, if you want, you can photograph.
Yeah, probably just I'll put out a couple of points that I
okay.
That's really possible.
Yeah, take this.
Are you going to be here for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this is special.
Okay, thanks. And we have the Gemara Yuma there, right? Kasher nichnasu sonim lahechol. Right. Here it is. Kasher nichnasu sonim lahechol. And that they saw the crow, the kruvim were chavukim zebaze. That's the one.
And that perish was just kidding. Just that shot.
Yeah, that's the shot. You can see
and
here. This.
It was Gavazik. It was too late. That was wrong. I was still
Gavazik. Right. The language of Igadot, he says, "Aval ksharo ayin ba'ayin, shekol divrei anovi hiskaimu, ubimivtach shav batchu." Meaning, they in vain did they rely on the Beis Hamikdash and thinking that Hashem would certainly save them. Asonim nichnasu lehechol timu es kodesh hakadoshim, hevinu shetov vehiku al chetom hischarto al maaseim itztaro al maaleim. They did tshuva, sincere tshuva. Shavu b'shuva b'kibur aleim lasus ritzonu shel makom v'akruvim heisevu pneim ishal ochi v'ach nechbeku aval kol zeh hayamu charmidai. The tragedy is it came too late. Kfar lo mona es hachurban, is too late to stop, to prevent the churban from happening and the process from reaching its fruition. The goyim according to Chazal refused to accept the Torah. And in the future, they'll come forward, they'll see the reward that's bestowed upon the Jewish people, and they will declare, Ribono shel Olam, no lo mirosh v'naseno. Give us a chance. Let's be tested. Give us the Torah. And the answer will be, Shotim sheva olam, misha torah perev Shabbos, yochel b'Shabbos, misha lo torah perev Shabbos, mayochel b'Shabbos. You can't turn the wheel of time backwards. It's too late to accept the Torah. You had your chance. You rejected the Torah. Now you can't join the bandwagon and claim any reward for yourself. And in Pirkei D'Rabbeleizer, Perek Mem Beis, Ben Azai Omer, Teida Lecha Koach HaTshuva. You should see the power and the limits of tshuva. Maisa bi'echa chayahu u'shnei reov beharim. A man and his two buddies, his colleagues, lived in the mountains. Gozlim v'chomsim kol asher yavra aleim baderech. They were murderers. They were robbers, and they attacked everyone, pouncing upon them, taking their goods. But this individual, he separated from his two friends, his colleagues, left the mountains. V'shov l'elokei avosov. He did tshuva, returning to the God of his fathers, b'chol libo, b'tzom u'b'tfila v'yamashkim u'mariv u'mariv l'beis hakneses v'osak b'torah. Hashem accepted it in tshuva. On the day of his death, the other two shodidim, gazlanim, also died. Nosnu lo chelko biotzar chayim. He got his portion in the world to come. V'lahem b'sha'ol tachtis. And they went to the other place, shoveling hot coals. How can you give him rights that we don't have? How can it be? He was one of us. He was a robber like us. And then you gave him such a great portion of the world to come, and us he sent to Sha'ol Tachtis. Atem lo asis, and he did tshuva. We accepted his tshuva. Amru hanach lanu vanu osim tshuva gedola. Let us have an opportunity, a shot at tshuva. Amalem ein tshuva ela ad yom hamisa. Tshuva is an opportunity to take advantage of, but up until the day of your death, after death, there's no tshuva. This is the message we have to take to heart. We have to do tshuva during our lifetime, and the sooner the better, without procrastination. Can you accept?